And this morning we're going to be talking primarily to dads, but everyone is welcome to listen in. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me himself, because the Holy Spirit has anointed Jesus to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And so in a very real sense, therefore, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So I'm going to back that up, hopefully. Okay, would you please read this with me? And we're going to read this ad nauseum until we really believe that this is true, because it is truth. Okay, so read it with me. "The Spirit of the Lord is on us, because he has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The reality is the cure is Jesus. Amen? The cure to the world's issues and problems is Jesus Christ. It's an intimate walk with him. How do we get people to Jesus? How do we do that? What's our method? Here at Buchanan Alliance, we believe as we are walking in intimacy with God, and we invite others to do the same. That's how it happens. He uses people. We're the first string. There is no second string. We're it. He wants to use us. He wants to so fill us with himself that people see Christ in us and they're drawn to us as we invite them to walk with him as well. Okay, homework for the people who are last week. Turn to each other, and if you did your table talk, grin. If you didn't, frowny face. Just 1 second. Grin or frowny face? I'm glad to see more grins than frowny faces. Okay, here we are. Thank you, dads. Would all the dads please stand? Come on, you guys. Can we say thank you? Okay, now we're going to beat up on you. Hey, the reality is, I believe it's never been harder to be a male, to be a man, than it has been in these days. I mean, just look at television. You know, you can't find a TV show that a man is not normal. He's normally the bumbling idiot, and the healthy person is some that we know would be a wacko in real life, but they're portrayed as the normal person. I mean, I used to watch Huxtable, whatever that was. I don't even remember the name, but even that idiot is, you know, he did some really stupid things. And then Tim the Toolman Taylor, hey, more power. But who was really the leader in their home? His wife Jill was. And then Last Man Standing. I just got a whiff of that a while ago. I haven't seen him for a while. But again, he's kind of the bumbling idiot. Men, we have an uphill battle today. But in one sense, we've advocated leadership. We're not stepping up to lead our families in the way they should go. It's on us. God chose men to lead. That's just the reality. He did. It's his MO. I don't know why he did it, but he did. In the beginning, God created a dad. He did. And then he created woman, because man alone is not good. It is not good, because we do mess things up when we're alone. Amen? My dad used to say, you get two boys together, or one boy, you got half wit, two boys or more, you got no wit at all. Jesus taught us that God's primary image is our Father. The primary image throughout all of Scripture is that God Almighty is our Heavenly Father. He's a Father to us. But many times, even with you guys, you know, I sent my dad a father's card. He opened it already before today. He called me last night. Son, thank you for the exaggeration. That's how he started. Son, you're a preacher. You're not supposed to lie. Dad, you're not perfect, but you're the perfect dad for me. Thank you for being my dad. My dad wasn't perfect, but God the Father is a perfect God, and his primary means of communicating to each one of us is as our Father. And I know for some of us that's difficult because maybe our fathers were absent. My father wasn't a perfect father. He was trying his best. I don't condemn him. Who here, now you've heard me say this before. Now I dated Lynette for 8 years and I just decided in my mind, man, I really like her and I'm going to propose to her because I want to marry her and I want to mess her up. Is that what you guys did? I remember a professor saying he had this young pastor come into his office for counseling. He was one of the profs. I can't remember what school. And this guy's just saying, my wife, I can't believe her. She is so messed up. She is this, she's that. And finally he said, my goodness, why'd you marry the girl? Well, she wasn't that way before I married her. And then he said, you're closer. Young man, what did you do to her? But some of us have a difficulty because we didn't have a good father image. But Scripture over and over and over gives us the image of a loving heavenly Father that not only loves us, he likes us and wants to have an intimacy with us. One of the best ways, guys, I'm going to talk to dads primarily today and a little bit to everyone else. One of the best ways to be a great dad is to love your wife. The Scripture says, we're going to look at Scripture. One of the best ways to love, to be a father, to be a good father, is to love your wife. In fact, I remember Dobson, and I tried to find the stats in that, and I couldn't. But Dobson had quite a bit of stats that if a father loves his mother, it brings stability to the whole family. And chances are, the kids are going to turn out pretty good. In fact, you almost can't mess kids up if you really love your wife, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So men, love your wives. And when I say love your wives, we're going to talk about that, because we don't even know what real love is in our culture. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, if I get this thing to go forward. Now, I'm skipping over and starting in verse 25. In 23, that real popular passage, wives submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Skipping right over that. But let me tell you, there's like two, maybe three verses that talk to wives. There's eight or nine talking to men. So repetition does penetrate the dullest of minds, men. We got eight verses. The ladies only got two or three. So here's how it begins. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. See, in our culture, we don't understand what love is. Our culture thinks that love is having physical union with the person. That isn't love. That's not love. Love, as I understand love is acting in the other person's best interest with eternity in view, even if it cost me personally. Notice, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How does Jesus act toward the church? What did he do on the cross? He acted in our best interest with eternity in view, even if it cost him his life. Men, are we loving our wives that way? Are we loving our wives that way? I don't think so. I know I didn't, and I've already asked God for forgiveness, and I still ask him for it. I know it's under the blood. And what's one of the results of this? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And I'm going to talk about this more and more in just a little bit. But you know, one of my roles, one of the delights that I'm going to have is, Lynette is already in heaven. Actually, tomorrow would be our 34th or 5th anniversary. I'm not sure which. I didn't do the math. But one day, I'm going to get to present her to Jesus. I'm going to get to present her to Jesus. What does it say? To make her holy, washing her, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her as a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. I'm going to have that honor. Jesus walked her through the valley of the shadow of death, but at some point, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that I'm going to get to present Lynette to her, to him, as her bride. Because that was one of my roles here on earth, to wash her with the word, to present her blameless to him. I'm going to have that privilege one day. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but feeds it, cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave father and mother and be united to his wife. I'm going to back up and hit some of these. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. See, all this stuff, as I've read this to begin with, actually, this passage transformed how I love Lynette. I married a girl that could take care of business. I married a girl that was so far above. She got one B all through college. I celebrated B. She got one. I married a girl that could take care of business. While I was off doing ministry and stuff, I could let her run the family. I'm being honest. Until someone came to me and said, would you officiate at our wedding? And then I started studying Ephesians 5. And I read this passage. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I've been so busy doing that that I've been neglecting loving my wife. I'm investing more in the elders of the local church than I am my own wife. You knucklehead. Don't stop that, but add this. Am I washing my wife with the word of God so that one day I'm going to present her to Jesus without stain, blemish, or wrinkle? That's what we're going to do one day. That's what it says. Isn't it what it says? This is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church, but he's talking about both. You're loving your wife to present her as a radiant church. What do you think, guys? One day, I believe in heaven. Revelation doesn't talk about it, but here Jesus does. He's speaking through the Apostle Paul. One day, men, we are going to present our wives radiant to Jesus as his bride. Because they're only on loan to us. Our children are only on loan to us. Amen? Now, let me back up again. So, none of us, man, I really like her. I'm going to marry her so I can mess her up. And then Lynette and I got together and we said, hey, let's have kids so that we can mess them up. Anyone do that? No, you're doing your best. You're doing your best. But I'm just telling you, with Christ abiding in us, our best is yet to be seen. Because he said, even greater things than these you will do because I go to the Father. Men, I'm telling you, we need to stand up and stand in the gap and say, Father, use me, use me. You've given me this wife. You've given me these children. I want to invest in them so that someday I can present them to you without stain, wrinkle, or blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Now this gets to the heart of it. Men, you know what our real problem is? We're selfish. Let's be brutally honest. What does it say? You love yourself more than you do your wife. Is the scripture wrong? Ever wrong? What's it say? We ought to love our wives as our own bodies. I haven't denied this puppy much. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body. Now, I don't like my body, and there are parts of it that I hate, but yet I still take care of it, don't I? I still feed the rascal. I still comb my hair. I still brush my teeth. But he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. We are members of one body. By the way, men, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. You know, over the years, I've done a lot of marriage counseling, and either the wife hasn't left or the husband hasn't left. Either one creates so many problems. You need to leave and cleave. Leave and cleave. You still honor your mother and your father. That's the first commandment with a promise, that you'll be blessed by doing it. But you need to leave and cleave. Leave and cleave. That's what it says. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about the church, Christ and the church. However, each of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her. Now to the illustration that I want to use. We're going to use umbrellas. Bill Gothard, this is the first guy. When I was a teenager, I went to the Basic Youth Institutes or whatever it was called. Anyone ever go to those? Now, I know Bill Gothard got into some trouble lately, but I still believe in this illustration. It's a powerful illustration. The umbrella of authority. So here's what happened early in our life. I actually bought this umbrella yesterday just to have an umbrella here for this. $15 at Walmart if you want one of these. So here I am. Now, I was studying scripture, memorizing scripture, I was investing in other people, but at home, all this stuff is happening at home. All this stuff is happening. I'm telling Lynette, woman. Now, please don't be offended. So many people over the years, they'd hear me call Lynette woman. That is a blessing. When Adam woke up and looked over there, what did he say? Woman. With a big grin on his face. Okay, so, woman. Would you come out of the rain, woman? What's wrong with you? And I'd say it. And I meant it. Why aren't you coming in out of the rain? What's wrong with you, woman? And she'd just look at me. Just like you're looking at me. What's wrong? Come on in out of the rain, babe. Come on in out of the rain. Why are you standing in the rain? And you see, I thought that I was loving Lynette as Christ loved the church until I studied this passage. And then I realized, yeah, I made the decision on what house to buy, on what car to buy. But was I helping with all the other decisions, all the everyday, all the discipline of the kids, all the nitty gritty with the budget and all that stuff? And there I am saying, babe, come on in out of the rain. And do I even have? I'm not even out of the rain. And I'm telling her to come out of the rain. And then what I learned through Ephesians 5 was, if you agape love your wife, what you'll do is you'll begin helping and doing all kinds of things, denying yourself, so that then actually she can come out of the rain. And you know what? With Lynette, once I started loving her as Christ loved the church to the best of my ability and still growing in it every year and every year, when I got here, one lady told me, you dote on your wife. And I took that as a compliment. I never had to ask Lynette to come in out of the rain again. I never had to hint at submission, because when I did start loving her, she's right here. She's like fleas on a dog. I didn't have to say it ever again. Now, when I was here, I was saying it all the time. Why don't you come in under the rain? Come in under the rain. Come in under the rain. Come out of the rain, woman. I don't know how many times in my life I've told people to get their act together only to realize I was the one that needed to get my act together. And I was the real issue. And now, what do I mean by that? What does this umbrella look like? Being a spiritual leader. Men, how many of us are the spiritual leader in our families? How many of us initiate devotions? How many of us initiate prayer? How many of us take us to the Lord in that? How many of us really do that? Most of us, and ladies, now I'm going to throw a rock at you guys, okay? Most ladies I've met over the years, they're telling their husbands, would you get up, stand up, stand in the gap? Would you be the spiritual leader and do what I tell you and do it now? Not all, but most do. Get up, stand up, step in the gap, lead us, and do it now. That's not what Sarah did. You know, Abraham put her in some really awkward places. And ladies, I understand that if your husband is not being the spiritual leader, it puts you in a really difficult place. But put your trust in Jesus and pray and fast and pray and trust God to speak to your husband. He will honor you. He will honor your faith. There are many times afterward I would share with Lynette what the Holy Spirit just said to me. And she'd get this grin on her face and I'd say, what's up? And she'd say, well, I've been praying about that. What do you mean you've been praying about that? Eventually I'd thank her. Spiritual leader, speaking her love language. Men, you know, when I first, you know, love others as you or do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, you know. So believe it or not, one of my love languages is physical touch. Now, do not touch me, okay? That is not permission for you guys to come and touch and hug me, all right? Got it? But believe it or not, so, you know, let me be doing dishes and I come up and, you know, and would you get off me? What are you doing? You know, I thought because my love language is touch, I thought that hers was. So I was just acting out to her toward, that's what it says, doing to others as you haven't doing to me. Well, I'd like to be touched, not by yins. Everyone got that? Now, I'll shake your hands and I'll give you an A-frame, but okay, are we okay? I'm German, okay? I love you guys, and if it changes, I'll let you know. All right? So, and then I did read Love Languages by Gary Chapman, and Lynette's primary love language was random acts of service. And so I said, well, how can I show you love then? She said, do the dishes. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Yeah, do the dishes, clean up, vacuum. I'm like, that really is love to you? You gotta be kidding me. But it was. So men, let's learn our wives and our children's love language and speak in their love language, not our love language. And this is a process. Till the week she's gone, she'd be doing something and I'd come up behind her and grab her. Would you let me go? Would you stop it? Are you with me, men? Learn our wives' love language. Speak their love language. Making joint decisions. You see, I went from being almost an absent husband and father because I was so busy in the work of the ministry that when I realized what I was doing and neglecting her man, I became Gestapo-like and I made every decision. Every decision. Not what tie I wore, but every other decision. I still need help with these. But then I came back into the middle, so it was a joint decision. Babe, what do you sense the Lord? Here's what I'm sensing of the Lord. What are you sensing of the Lord? And we would make joint decisions, helping with everyday issues, helping every day with stuff. lightening her burden. I don't understand ladies, but I know that they worry about everything and anything. I don't. I didn't even have to watch the road when I was driving because Lynette would. Protecting her spiritually, emotionally, and physically. This is a big deal. This umbrella of protection, I believe in it. I would be called off to the national office for 3 or 4 days, and I could not believe the attacks that happened when I was gone from the home. It was unbelievable. All kinds of craziness would happen. Stuff would break that never broke. Kids would get sick. It was unbelievable. I believe in this. I believe in this, that we can take a stand, that we can take authority over the enemy, and we're the spiritual head of the home. We're the spiritual head of the wife. Kephale gumne is what it says. Husbands are the head of the wives. In this passage, husbands are the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. And then in chapter 6, it doesn't say, children, obey your father. It says, obey your parents. So the husband is the head of the wife. Together, they are the spiritual authority over the family. But we are the first line, and we can claim authority and protection. We can claim the armor of God, the helmet, hope of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I take the shield of faith with which to quench the fire arrows of the evil one, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, in prayer, in faith. I stand. I claim this for me, my wife, and my family. There is power in that. There is power in that. And when I started doing that, she was like flea on a dog. Whoop, right there. I never, ever, the closest Lynette ever got to questioning anything was, you better be right about this one. And that was only when we couldn't come to consensus and a decision had to be made. The buck stops with us, men. We need to step up, seek the Lord, and take a step in faith, trusting that He's going to lead and guide us. In fact, don't just ask for the wisdom, claim it. Father, I need your will to be revealed. Your will, not my will, your will. And empower us to step in agreement with your will. Men, we must. We have been called to do it. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, in every way, providing for our families and provide for the whole family. And then 1 Corinthians, just a hit on love. Love is patient. Well, I'm in trouble already. Love is kind. Guys, how kind have we been to our wives this past week? Would kindness demonstrate our words? It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Over the years, I've been with couples doing marriage counseling. Don't come to me, Pastor Trevor will help you out, okay? If you need to talk, come talk to me. But I may refer you to someone else because I'm not patient. I want you to get better now. And if you're not going to listen to what the Bible says, don't even come, because that's all I'm going to share with you is what the Bible says. A lot of people want to hear good stuff, but then they don't want to do anything. I lack patience. I want you to grow. I'll help you grow. But if you're not willing to grow, you can lead a horse to water. Sure can't make him drink. I was with a doctor one time working with all these elders, and the doctor came up to me after kind of a tough meeting. He said, man, your job is just like mine. I said, how's that? He said, I'm a medical doctor. I talk to people all day long. You can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink, but then you get so frustrated you want to drown him in it. I it keeps no record of wrong. So many times I meet with married couples, and they just keep going down this litany list of stuff. They're keeping a record. Why are you keeping a record? Put it under the blood. Forgive it. Forgive it and let go. But they keep doing it. Well, keep forgiving. Man, how would it be if God forgave you once in a day and that was it? Remember how many times he says? Either 77 or 490. Either one for the same thing in one day. That's how often we're to forgive if someone sins against us. Which I'm pretty sure Jesus was using that to say, there's no limit on it. I thank God that there's no limit on his forgiveness. And if I've been forgiven that much, how dare I not forgive another, especially my wife. Keeps no record of wrongs. Yeah, I forgave him, but, you know, I keep on to it. And when things go wrong, I just remind him. Not. Should never happen. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And now hear these last verses. Always protects. Always trusts. Always trusts. Always. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. Now that type of love, I believe, is only possible as the Holy Spirit fills us. And he empowers us to radiate that love, and it's literally him flowing through us. Men, you can't be good husbands apart from the Holy Spirit and walking in intimacy with God. It is not possible. It is not possible. So here we go. Which image represents you? And I'm going to show us some images. Are you like I was? Come on and out of the rain? Or do you have your umbrella up? There's the button. Don't you love these buttons? I don't love these buttons. Which one are you, guys? Just being honest, which one are you? Are you saying submit, 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 and you're standing there with an umbrella that's not open? Are you wondering why she isn't, why she's off doing all this other stuff? Or are you like this? If the former, apologize. And by the way, specifically, they like to know why. Oh, just forgive me, babe. For what? They want to know you really mean it. So ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what you really have done, how you've really blown it. And ask for true forgiveness. Let's ask God to transform us into Christ-like husbands. Can we do that? Also, and I've asked some people to help out, and we do have time for this. I want to know how large your umbrella is. I've asked some people to help out. And Royce is going to help. This is a nice umbrella, but it's kind of a singular. He's single. See, we don't even fit under that rascal. And then we have, this is a twofer deal. And I ask these guys to come up. Is that the size of your umbrella? And then, if I can make this work, I asked Chris and his family to come up. Where did I put that clicker? You see, you could be, and he's single, he doesn't have a wife yet. And that's kind of appropriate, but you know how you attract a wife? Have an even larger umbrella. And here we have a husband and wife. It's appropriate, but could it be even larger? And here we have, there's room, man, I can even fit under here.
This is like the minivan of umbrellas.
We can't take people where we haven't been. It's nice to talk about this stuff, but we can't take people where we haven't been. Now, a few years ago, the prayer of Jabez was super popular, okay? Super popular. I'm using it as an example, and I want to modify it. The beginning of the prayer of Jabez was, what he prayed was, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." Here's how I want to change that. "Oh, that you would enlarge my love for you, my love for my family, and my umbrella of authority. Oh, that you would enlarge my love for you, my love for my family, and my umbrella of authority." Who wants supersized? I do. I do. I want supersized at whatever cost. I want to so love God that it just oozes and oozes and oozes, and others see that and they want to be there. And it's kind of like this umbrella. Hey, can we come in now from under this stuff? How about you? What size is your umbrella? Now, I'm talking to everyone here. I want supersized. I want a tent. But it doesn't just happen through osmosis. We have to seek Him. And we have to let Him do work in our hearts. Painful work. You know, I kept telling woman, come in out of the rain. Woman, come in out of the rain. And who needed to change? Me. Me. I met the enemy. I'm it for me. I have a sneaky suspicion you're in the same boat. So today, can we just, Lord, supersize me? Please supersize me. Modify the prayer of Jabez, not asking for greater territory, but greater love for Him, for my family, and increase my umbrella, so that others can come in out of the rain and experience Him. Would you please stand together with me? You guys, thank you, and you can go to your seats. Stand with me, and let's look to the Lord in prayer. And then our worship team is going to come. Father in heaven, you are the ultimate Father. You're the ultimate. Please supersize us. Please deliver us from ourselves. Deliver me from myself. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Love your wives as you love yourself. But Father in heaven, please forgive me for my selfishness, for our selfishness and self-centeredness. Please reveal anything in my life, in our lives, to each one of us. At whatever cost, please continue your work in me and in us, so that literally others would see Christ in us. Oh, Dad in heaven, this age, in this culture, where men are viewed as absolute idiots and imbeciles and can't do anything right, I ask that you would so fill each of the Father's here with yourself, and you would so flow through us that literally we would stand out like a sore thumb, that others would see Christ in us and be drawn to you. And I pray that for the ladies as well, that other ladies, people in each of our individual worlds would see Christ in us. They'd see a difference in our lives. And they realize it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And they will want Jesus. And so please, supersize us at whatever cost. Even during our closing song, Holy Spirit, speak to me, speak to us. Draw us to yourself. For we are in desperate need of you. Please, please supersize us for your glory and yours alone. Abba Father, I boldly pray these things, and I pray them in your name, Lord Jesus, and in your authority. And so I thank you in advance for what you're going to do in my life this week, how you're going to reveal things and transform me, how you're going to reveal things to each of us and transform us. I believe that you're going to do the miraculous in us and through us so that others will see you, Lord Jesus. And the things I don't know how to pray, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're interceding with groanings that cannot be uttered. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All of these things we pray in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our altar is always open. If you would like someone to pray with you, please come on this side. Requesting assistance. On the right-hand side, requesting assistance. On this side, if you just want to come and pray silently, the altar is always open. You're welcome to come and seek the Lord. Let us worship Him in song.